and Stuart Schweigert
on 101.7 The Hammer.
Back on the Hammer Down Show, 101.7 The Hammer, 101.7thehammer.com. Duff and the Game Changer with you on a Monday. Time now to talk some more Boilermaker football. Purdue coming off the triple overtime loss to Wisconsin, and now it's down to a truly one-game season. Purdue on the road on Saturday at IU, and with more on the Boilermakers, we bring in Mike Carman from the Lafayette Journal and Courier on the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline. Mike, good afternoon. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Doing just fine. How was your weekend?
It was okay. Yeah. Bears still in first place.
Yeah. Quick turnaround. You concerned or not?
No.
I love how you elaborate on that. That's nice.
I don't know what else to add other than no. I don't know if they'll win. I just know I'm not concerned about the turnaround.
I understand. We'll definitely be watching and listening right here on the Hammer on Thursday.
Yes.
Bears and
Lions. I'm worried about my quick turnaround from eating on Wednesday to eating on Thursday.
Yes. Good point. And then going back again the second time around on Thursday.
Yep.
If you can.
Right. And then trying to figure out what to eat on Friday.
Right. Right. Because there'll still be some leftovers laying around, but you're
there's going to be a ton.
I know. But you're like, do I have another day?
Cold turkey's the best.
Yeah, it is good stuff. It is good stuff. So, well, Mike, you were there today for Coach Brom's news coverage. You had a chance to kind of detail all this stuff over the last couple of days. What are some of your takeaways now after hearing from Coach today?
Well, they got to figure out a way to create some momentum going into this year's bucket game because they've lost two in a row. You know, last year they were coming off the win at Iowa, and their backs were against the wall because they were 4-6 at the time and got the big win at Iowa, and that kind of carried over. I thought into last year's bucket win, but now, you know, you've lost to Minnesota, you've lost to Wisconsin in a game you had a 14-point lead, and you gotta figure it out quickly because if you don't win, then your season's over. I think he was still stinging from the loss, more so that his team gave up a 14-point lead. I think that's probably the one thing, along with maybe a couple calls by the officials, that continued to bother him today.
Yeah, I thought so too. I thought he looked a little tired, a little more tired than normal watching him online today. And besides the obvious of, you know, Wisconsin scored the points to force overtime, where did you see the breakdowns there in that final 10 minutes of that final period?
Well, I put the, yeah, I don't, I guess don't use the word blame, but I put the kind of the situation on the offense because, you know, you got down to the 1 yard line on, you know, second and one with a chance to punch it in and go up three scores. And, you know, you don't get any yards on the second down play, and then you lose a yard on third down play. Then you have to kick the field goal in that situation to go up 14. But if you can punch it in there and go up 18 points, you force Wisconsin out of their comfort zone. They're still going to run the ball a little bit, but you're going to put more of the responsibility on their backup quarterback. And, you know, Purdue's had not a good history with backup quarterbacks this year. But you force them to do things they're just not – they don't want to do. And when they're only down two scores, they can still lean on Jonathan Taylor in that offensive line, and that's what they did. But the Purdue offense really needed to get some first downs even after that and keep the ball and, you know, find a way maybe to get a few more points to put that game away.
Yeah, Mike, the feeling I got, you know, that we're up by 14 points like we talked about with 10 minutes to go, I had the feeling like Purdue and the stadium and the whole environment was like, you know, we got this game won for whatever reason. Did you get that same feeling or that impression? I felt it like I'm thinking there's still a lot of game to go, but it was almost as if, you know, we were up by two touchdowns with 2 minutes to go.
Well, anybody that's been in Ross-Ade Stadium and watched Purdue football for generations understands that really nothing should be comfortable. But yeah, I think there was a sense of confidence there that, they should be able to hold on to that lead because, you know, the way the game kind of, you know, ebbed and flow is, you know, Wisconsin, you know, got his running game going a little bit, but then I thought Purdue kind of took control of him somewhat, but then they cranked it up and the offensive line started really dominating the line of scrimmage, and Purdue's defenders couldn't get off any blocks, and by the time you got to overtime, it was too late, because Wisconsin is built for overtime with their running game. And then once they scored kind of pretty quickly, I think they scored within 4 minutes after Purdue had kicked the field goal, then I thought you had a situation where people thought Purdue was in trouble. But they needed their offense to answer, I think, or at least take some more time off the clock in order not to leave Wisconsin, you know, any time to try to tie the game.
Mike Harmon, Lafayette Journal and Courier on the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline.
You know, Mike, I think the biggest things for Holt and the conundrum he kind of finds himself in is, you know, obviously we're not doing very good against the run. So you put eight guys in the box, you leave our corners on an island, but yet as soon as you do that, we're giving up fade routes in the end zone. You know, unfortunately, Blackman's kind of been, it seems like every week he's kind of getting picked on out there. And before the first touchdown on him, you know, they threw, I think, two quick stop routes to kind of move him up, and then they go over top. I mean, what do you do?
If there was another option there, that they'd be playing that person. I just don't think they're comfortable, with anybody else other than Blackman. And, you know, Saturday would have been Kenneth Major. You know, they did move Tim Case on back into the lineup against Minnesota, but Kenneth Major was back starting on Saturday. And, you know, that's an area that has to get addressed in the off season, is better secondary play, and especially from the cornerback position. And I think it's been detailed, and people have talked about the loss of Jacob Thieneman when it comes to run support, but he was also a key figure in pass protection or pass defense as well, that when he's not up on the line of scrimmage or in those kind of positions, that he's in the backfield, or at least the secondary, maybe he's allowed to help in those situations a little bit more. But that's an area that has to get addressed in the off season. And I thought there would be more true freshmen seeing action by this time in the secondary, because they brought in a nice class, nice tall athletic class. But other than Corey Trice, a couple snaps against Minnesota, we haven't really seen those guys.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing I really liked about his first recruiting class defensively in the secondary was the size of those guys. I think there was three or four defensive backs that were like 6'2", 6'3", because that was kind of always my issue with Hazel and the guys he was bringing in, was just the size of them. They were just smaller defensive backs. And like you said, they haven't really played too many of those guys. And I'm just wondering, at this point, I mean, are those guys just not that trustworthy?
Well, they obviously are not. And if, you know, they haven't developed or put themselves in a position where the coaching staff is going to trust them to play. And a lot of it is, as you know, just you got to know what to do, when to do it. And I think that's a struggle for, you know, not only the freshmen at Purdue, but the freshmen everywhere. You know, some guys adapt quicker than others. His name is Rondell Moore, and he adapts very quickly. But there are other guys, especially defensively, when you've got a lot of keys to read, and a lot of situations that you got to remember, that, you know, maybe they just haven't caught on as quickly as the coaching staff wanted them to. And I, you know, if they were ready to play, the whole coaching term there, if they were truly ready to play, I think they would be in the game. But I just don't think that group is ready to go right now.
Mike Harmon, Purdue football beat writer, Lafayette Journal and Courier on the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline. And Mike, we've talked a bunch on the show today about Coach not going for two there in the second overtime. The opportunity was there; he decided not to. I know he talked more about it today. What were your thoughts there about not going for it for two in that situation, when we all know that Purdue really struggled trying to stop Jonathan Taylor on Saturday?
Well, I would lean that he probably should have, but I'm not going to put his feet to the fire over it. So, yeah, I think, yeah, we can all look back on it and say, yeah, he should have, but, you know, you're in the heat of the moment there, and he felt comfortable with his team at that point, but his defense was gassed. They were tired. They'd been on the field a lot, and when you're getting leaned on with those big bodies from the offensive line and then trying to tackle, you know, Jonathan Taylor, who's going to be a top draft pick in the NFL in a couple years, it just wore you down. And Purdue doesn't have a lot of big bodies on that defensive line. They don't have a lot of big bodies on the defense other than, a couple guys. And they just, you just get worn down. You don't have the depth. And, it's understandable to see what happened. That's not going to fly in the film room when they looked at it over the weekend, but that's the reality of the situation. And, I think most Purdue fans would have handled the loss if he'd gone for two, because he talks about being aggressive. He talks about going down swinging, and that would have been a case. Even if he lost, at least he went down swinging. Whereas once you blinked on offense in overtime against Wisconsin, by kicking that field goal in the third overtime, the game was over because Wisconsin was going to score in that third session.
Well, Mike, we got about a minute left here. How dangerous is this trip down to Bloomington then Saturday for Purdue, considering what's all on the line for Purdue, and also the same thing on the line for the Hoosiers?
Well, it's a dangerous game like it was last year. They've got to figure out a way to go down there and win and extend their season into December, and that's. This game is going to define the narrative of Jeff Brohm's second year at Purdue. Either you're going to be 5-7 or you're going to be 6-6 with a chance to get to a bowl game. And I think Purdue's offense, brought itself back to life against Wisconsin. And I think they're going to be able to put up some points, but they've got to fix the running game on defense. They've got to shut that down a little bit, and they're going to face a spread attack, which they had some issues with earlier in the year as far as getting in space and being able to tackle and getting Indiana's offense off the field.
Mike, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us. As always, enjoy the turkey and the bears and all the Thanksgiving trimmings that are coming up later this week.
Is this our last time together?
This is our last time this week together, yes.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know if my session was ending. Since the season is ending.
This session is ending, but we would like for you to come back on Monday.
Please.
Oh, okay.
Please.
Oh, yeah. I guess I got to read the fine print in the contract.
Yes. Well, if you could please come back, we'd appreciate it.
And go Lions.
Okay. Well, you can say that. I won't.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Carmen, Lafayette, Gerald, and Currier. When we come back, we'll have our Roars of the Day. We'll also update our Hammerhead Hot Topic next on the Hammer Down Show.